We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. I'll read this verse again as we get started. We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Now, I need to lead you through a little practice kind of exercise before we get to the heart of this sermon. So it's like this. What I want everybody to say, and I'll tell you when, is, woe is me. On 3, 2, 1. Ready? 3, 2. Okay. Math lessons after services. She's can't wait to get off the line here. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Now, just a little acting coaching here. I need to hear some more anguish in there. So it's more like, woe is me. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's better. That's better. Now, it's not that every week isn't filled with its own level of bad news, but you probably all got the bad news this week that they have now identified the newest variant of the COVID virus, the Omicron variant, which started in South Africa and has already spread to Israel and several European countries, and they have not yet found that it's here, but they're just certain that it is already here because of the state of world travel waiting to start to make its presence officially known in the United States. And they're just about 100% sure that this version will be even more contagious, more easy to catch than any of the variations so far. They're fairly certain that this version, because of the number of changes, mutations, and one thing and another, will be able to get by both our natural immunity and the vaccinations to a greater extent than we would like, and therefore you can count on that our project toward herd immunity, if not set back to absolutely nothing, is going to be set back significantly. And they are not sure about this yet. Usually viruses mutate to become more contagious but less virulent. That is, more easily caught but less deadly when you catch it. That has not exactly been the history with the COVID virus. So they think that probably it will be at least as bad in its symptomology as previous iterations of the virus. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Woe is me! Upon the news of the discovery of the Omicron variant, markets the world over took a big tumble and gazillions of dollars were lost, and some of them were mine. I mean, I have here in a few days, the monthly statement from my IRA will come out, and I'm not looking forward to reading it. I haven't looked forward to reading it much for the last many months, but it'd probably be worse this time. And it's not just me. It's going to be shared about. And a lot of money, potential money, is going to go away again. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Woe is me! Germany, Austria, and the Netherlands are already officially re-locked down. Other countries will soon follow suit. New restrictions are being considered here I don't know what shape they will take and to what extent they will be federal and to what extent they will be local, but you can just bet your bottom dollar that there is going to be some new mandates and restrictions and problems going on. Count on it. 3, 2, 1. Woe is me! And now with all that dose of good news, we're ready for the sermon. Preaching from the book of Revelation again, and I've probably preached from Revelation more this year than most years. I'd have to go back and count, but maybe 5 times in the course of the year I've gone back to the book of Revelation. And the verse that I read for you today, and I'll read it one more time. We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. This verse appears in the context of what are called the 3 great woes, or the 3 last woes, or just the 3 woes, depending on what commentary you are reading. And to understand this, I need to rehearse what most of you will already know, the big framework of the book of Revelation. And it goes like this. There is this scroll which contains the whole plan, counsel, and will of God. But it's sealed with 7 royal seals. And none of us are worthy to open them. Jesus Christ is worthy. He proves himself worthy and removes the 7 seals so that the full counsel, will, and plan of God may be known. The 7th seal, and things happen with each of the seals, the 7th seal is divided into 7 trumpets. And with each trumpet blast, some more things happen leading forward to the resolution and final accomplishment of the full will, plan, and counsel of God. And the 7th trumpet is divided into 7 bowls. The last of God's wrath to be poured out upon a sinful and corrupt earth. Now, those who have heard me teach about the book of Revelation know that I adopt a historicist point of view, and I won't go through all that today beyond to say that most of what is in the book of Revelation describes historical processes that are ongoing and keep repeating. The 4 horsemen have already been riding for ages. They are riding today. They will still be riding when the end comes. The beast has always been human governments given over to the project of Satan. And the beast is alive today as governments drift his way. And the beast will be alive in the future. These things continue to happen over and over again. And so it is with all the great themes in the book of Revelation. Now on this point, my son Andrew and I probably differ just a little on what I'm coming to now. I think Andrew is in agreement with me so far. But we differ maybe just a little here. I believe there is a point in the progress where you enter the last cycle and some unique things are introduced. I believe that 3 woes mark that point where we have entered the last cycle. And the 3 woes are the 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpets. The events that happen when the trumpet number 5, trumpet number 6, trumpet number 7 are blown. So the 3rd woe incorporates all 7 of the bowls of wrath that this last trumpet is divided into. These are the 3 great or last woes. And in my view, the last cycle in history. So what are these three great woes. The first one comes in chapter 9, the blowing of the fifth trumpet. And monstrous locust things swarm up from the bottomless pit and torment and afflict men so that they are desperately ill for 5 months, so ill that many wish that they could just die to get out of their misery. This is the first woe, and two woes remain. I will not tell you how I think you should interpret the locust from the bottomless pit, subject for a private conversation, or we can schedule a class or something else, but I won't tell you right now how I think you should interpret the locust from the pit, the first woe. Second woe, a vast army of 200 million marches off to war, a war in which one third of humanity will perish. One third of all living men and women gone in this conflict. This is the second woe. And I will not tell you how I think you should interpret it. I will tell you simply that it is the second woe. And one woe remains. The third woe is necessarily more complex because it is the seventh trumpet, which takes in all seven of the bowls of wrath. But the third woe begins this way. I believe the final beast, the last incarnation of a Satan-inspired government, takes the stage, the beast with its entourage, and the beast makes war against the saints, and the beast demands the worship of men on the pain of captivity and death, and onto the reign of the beast, seven bowls of wrath are poured out. And at the pouring out of the first bowl, men are covered with malignant sores that torment them day and night. And at the pouring of the second bowl, the seas become as blood. And at the pouring of the third bowl, the inland waters follow and become as blood. And at the pouring of the fourth bowl, the sun goes into overdrive and men are scorched almost beyond endurance. And at the pouring of the fifth bowl, darkness falls upon the earth. And at the pouring of the sixth bowl, the Euphrates River, at least, goes dry in preparation for the advance of the kings of the east. And I will not tell you how I think you ought to interpret any of those things. I would just tell you that they are the progression of the third and last of the great woes. And at the pouring of the seventh bowl, Babylon is judged. And I will tell you how I think you ought to interpret Babylon, because it ties directly into what I want to say. I read Babylon in the book of Revelation as the apostate economy, just as the beast is the government given over to the purposes of Satan. Babylon is the economy given over to the purposes of Satan. And after all, love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And how many of you believe that without looking too hard, you could begin to identify segments of our current economy that has fallen into Satan's sway? It's not hard. And we now have, for the first time in the history of the world, what can truly be called a global economy. There didn't used to be such a thing. There is now one economy that encompasses all the world and which will be completely dominated by Satan and bent to his purposes. And God will judge it. Partly, as I read it, through natural disasters and partly through other means, but it will be the judgment of God, and men will mourn that so much wealth perished in a single hour and so much merchandise lays at the bottom of the sea beyond reclaiming, and so much that we might have had and enjoyed is suddenly taken away from us and transformed into smoke that rises up and emphasizes the judgment that has fallen as the entire economy of the world plunges into ruin. This is the seventh bowl, the last of the third woe, the completion, final wrath of God. And then, after the three woes, Jesus comes. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus comes. And there is a lot associated with that that I can't go into today. Again, some other time. Christ comes at the culmination of the three great woes. And I hope in describing them that I have let you know that the events of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are bad news. Bad news. Really tough stuff. But the verse for today, Revelation 11:17, falls right smack in the middle of it. At the ending of the second woe, on the eve of the third woe, this is the song sung in heaven. We give you thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Amen. This is the song sung in heaven as the citizenry of glory observed the series of disasters that have befallen and are about to befall the inhabitants of the earth. Thanks and glory and praise to God because He has taken up at length His great power and begins to reign. Of course, a different tune is being sung on the earth. 11:18 says, the nations are enraged at the experience of these woes. 16:21 says, men blaspheme God because of their experience of these woes. 18:5 says, sins continue to pile up before God as men experience the three great woes. But heaven recognizes what earth cannot imagine, that it is in the midst of these woes, more by means of these woes, that the purposes of God are moved forward. That these woes in and of themselves are the expressions of His great power, which He has taken up. And now He begins to reign. There are other songs besides this one that are sung in heaven as the woes progress. If you go to chapter 15, and I'll start with the second half verse 3. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And if you go to chapter 19, as we come to the closing period of the woes, and I will begin with just into the first verse. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. And he has judged the great harlot, that is Babylon, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. These songs are sung in heaven while men rage, blaspheme, and pile up sins on earth. But both are reactions to the three great woes. One heavenly, one earthly. And I have a simple question for you. Which reaction should exemplify the hearts of the saints, the people of God? Wherever they may be found, which reaction should be ours? We know. But I suspect we would think that they find it easier up there in heaven, where they know by sight things that we only feel by faith about mortality and suffering and eternity. I reckon that's true. But still, which reaction should be the cry of our hearts? Yes, I think it's probably easier for those, so to speak, up there who are not down here wading through the blood and the misery of the woes. And yet, I know which response I think should be the cry of our hearts. We all recognize the necessity of judgment. How many of us realize that the kind of things that are happening in the world cannot be allowed to go on forever? We realize the necessity of judgment. We long, each of us longs, for this world to be reforged. How many of us are looking forward to a new world delivered from the corruption that lays upon this one? We long for the world to be reforged, but that doesn't mean that we enjoy the process of fire and hammer that is necessary to accomplish it. We see the necessity for judgment, but it does not mean that we will enjoy the process of judgment. We know that in the midst of the woes, and probably most of us present would have to confess, push come to shove, that we have not yet seen all that much of woe. But we have eyes to see the shape of things to come. The shape of things forming in the world, even now. And our response should be thanks and praise and glory. Yes, in the midst of the pandemic and everything related to it, there is enough woe to go around. And a little more than that. But I believe that God's plan is to prosper us, not to harm us. I believe that God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And I believe that God has already laid out the chart whereby judgment accomplishes salvation for His people. And if the cry of our hearts in the midst of woe is not thanks and praise to God because of His righteousness and faithfulness and that He takes up His power and He begins to reign, if we cannot feel that now, what chance would we have should we live to see the really great woes fall upon us? Bad as you may think things are now, I think they're going to be worse then. And if we can't praise Him in the midst of the current woes, how shall we praise Him in the midst of the last woes to come? Let the song of heaven become ours. Praise, thanks, and glory to God, even and perhaps especially in the midst of woe. If that's not the cry of your heart, if you are not so called into the purposes of God yet, answer His call today.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.